obviously conventional soybean meal is solvent extracted. Chemical use is kind of the antithesis of everything that organic production stands for. So organic soybean meal is all expeller or express. It's the pressed meal, higher fat. And then you run into all kinds of fun issues with oversolving and your energy is too high, but your aminos are still not hitting. And it's just a little bit of a different beast on the organic side for sure.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai. AI-powered feed formulation with nonlinear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Kemin invites you to optimize animal feed quality and safety with our portfolio of solutions. Learn more at kemin.com/ag. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge. Don't hire another VA stuck in 2015. Hire a remote AI specialist from Latin who runs AI tools, works in your time zone, and helps your team move faster. Schedule your free strategy call at www.wisevas.io. Zentrix Insights. The right person in the right seat starts with knowing how your team is actually wired. Visit ZentrixInsights.com. Zentrix OS, the business operating system built for teams who are serious about goals, tasks, and measurable results. One platform to run your entire operation. Revenue grew, so did your hours. The owner's box, buy back 20 a week. Stop hiring for problems automation can solve. Start with Elevate Agents.
Welcome to the Feed Science Podcast, coming to you from North Carolina State University in the Animal Food Manufacturing Program, housed in the Prestige Department of Poultry Science. I'm Adam Fahrenholz. Thanks for listening or watching on YouTube. And on behalf of Wisenetics, we do appreciate all of the support of our audience and our sponsors. And if you've got any comments, suggestions, things like that, things you'd like to see more of, or things that you with topics maybe that we haven't covered at all, please do feel free to drop comments in YouTube or your favorite podcasting app of choice, whatever the case may be. We're going to have a bit of a free-flowing conversation today. We're going to talk about a couple different things. And my guest is Michaela Hagenstaller. Michaela is the Director of Poultry Nutrition at Handsome Brook Farms. And we're going to talk some about organic production as it relates to poultry and the feed manufacturing side of that. We're also going to talk a little bit about women in ag and what that looks like, especially in our industry. So with that, Michaela, thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me, Adam. I really appreciate that we're here to have this conversation.
Yeah, you bet. If you wouldn't mind, just introduce yourself a little bit to the audience. Quick background and what it is you do there at Handsome Brook.
Yeah, so I am the Director of Poultry Nutrition at Handsome Brook Farms. We are a specialty egg producer, so our main game is in the organic space. Pasture raised organic is kind of our foundation, and since then we've spread out to cover organic free range as well as conventional free range as well. Me personally, I came to Handsome Brook from Feed, which still is one of our feed milling partners. So that's kind of where I cut my teeth in the poultry industry. Learned a whole lot, bag feed, commercial feed, broilers, layer, just kind of all of it. I grew up on a farm. Farming and animal production is kind of in my blood, so I feel right at home.
You already know that the key to a profitable operation is healthy, productive animals. This starts with the quality and safety of your production inputs. Our team of experts at Kemin are driven by curiosity to develop science-backed ingredients and solutions to help you maintain feed and water quality, improve intestinal health, optimize nutrition, and eliminate pathogens. Learn more today by diving in at kemin.com/ag.
Very cool. So one of the things that I would imagine a lot of our audience would have at least some familiarity of the idea that when we are feeding animals and we are doing organic production, that there are specific things that are going to have to be different. But not everybody that's listening probably knows what those are. So let's start there. When we are feeding animals and they are going to be, or in this case, their eggs are going to be certified organic, what are the things that we have to do in order to make sure that we meet all those requirements from a providing of the food standpoint?
Yeah. So the biggest thing is the use of synthetic amino acids. So those are not allowed in organic production with the exception of methionine. So methionine has historically been capped at 2 pounds per ton, on the poultry side. I'm not sure. I know it's a little different for like the swine guys and stuff. But methionine has been capped. Now they are in the final comment period to remove that methionine cap. We had it at, there was different levels at one point, and then they changed it to 2 pounds over the course of the flock, which was beneficial because you could front load those pullets. Pullets are so important, obviously, in the layer industry. So you could give them a little more up front, but then you had to keep all of those records over the life of the flock. And that's assuming, you know, there's nobody going out early. There's no disease challenges, nothing like that, that you're going to come up. The idea was to load the front of the bird and then dial it back later on, which is definitely helpful from where we were before, but it just added another layer of complexity with compliance, and there's already a lot of paperwork and everything. So this methionine change is a big deal, taking the cap off of methionine. It'll just allow us just more flexibility. And then, as one might suspect, lysine is kind of next on the docket to discuss. And that's just kind of the beginning stages very much. But I know it is being discussed at a high level, and that's exciting as well. So yeah, synthetics, definitely that's the biggest difference. The other huge difference also on the protein side is going to be what kind of soybean meal we're using. Obviously, conventional soybean meal is solvent extracted. Chemical use is kind of the antithesis of everything that organic production stands for. So organic soybean meal is all expeller or express. It's the pressed meal, higher fat. And then you run into all kinds of fun issues with oversolving, and your energy is too high, but your aminos are still not hitting. And it's just a little bit of a different beast on the organic side for sure.
Absolutely. So what does that look like then from the standpoint of the sourcing of ingredients? Like, how, obviously there'd be different ways to do it, right? Like, if we're large enough, and we're not organic, we go through brokers and we figure out, you know, what's the best thing. Or if we're really big, we're buying our own grains and hedging and leveraging and all that other kind of stuff. Well, how does that change at this level? Is there a lot more of like doing direct sourcing, paying, you know, particular farmers to grow particular things for you? Or are there like specialty brokers that you use to go find these ingredients? What does that look like?
Yeah, so that's a fun question because it's kind of all over the board. And I will say what works for us as a specialty egg producer is not going to be what works for somebody else's model. I think one of the fantastic things and one of the challenging things about kind of being in more of a niche space is that you do have a more diverse pool of opportunities that you're presented with, good, bad, or otherwise. That's just how it is. So, I mean, I've been approached by everyone from international brokers to, you know, farmers growing their own thing. I will say, because we don't have those synthetics, and because a lot of the mill partners that we work with, especially, they're not these huge, they're not the Verasovas, they're not the Cargills, they're not the Purdue's, they're smaller. A lot of them are co-op type feed mills that we're working with. And some of them are super innovative and have started crushing their own beans. Now that can be hit or miss, but yeah, we have international brokers. We have people bringing it over as beans and then crushing here. We have crushing in Canada. It's just all different kinds of models work. I will say the one thing that we have discovered without, you know, it's the amount of time is really the challenge from when that bean is crushed to when it is in front of the bird. That time span matters. And that's something that I think gets overlooked a lot. Oh, it's 46%. It's 46%. Well, that's fine and dandy that it's 46%, assuming it actually is. But if it's rancid because it's been sitting on a container in the hot sun for the last 4 months and the birds are like, no, I don't want to eat that. The nutrition is only as good as what the bird is consuming.
Sure. And I would imagine if I had to guess, and I don't live in this world all that often, but if I had to guess, I would say that some of those things, because of the difficulty of getting the ingredients in a constant stream, and we see this with other ingredients that are difficult getting a constant stream, there's probably a bit of an attitude in a lot of cases of like, that's how it is. That's just, what are we going to do? I mean, this is what we live with. And I would imagine that trying to get people that have maybe been in it for a long time, kind of been in it from the beginning, out of that mindset and saying, no, we don't have to accept that. We can, you know, look for some innovation or find a different partner. I would assume that that becomes a kind of a push that you have to experience a lot.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and to me, you're not going to get excellence unless you demand excellence. Like that's just at the end of the day, if you are not, like I am pushed on the nutrition front to feed birds. Like at the end of the day, regardless of title, regardless of education, anything else, I feed chickens. That's what I do. I feed chickens. And so the birds and their performance are really pushing me to be better. But in order for me to be better, I have to be pushing our mill partners. Our mill partners have to be pushing the suppliers. The suppliers have to be thinking outside the box. It's that whole supply chain really, really matters when it comes to what do you want to put in front of that animal? And yeah, having the right partners at every level definitely makes a difference.
So another thing that sticks out to me, somewhat because of the organic production side, but also somewhat because of what you mentioned with all the toll milling side of the things that you do. What is it like trying to run like the quality programs that you would need to do in order to kind of keep track of what everybody's doing? That's a lot different than it's, you know, it's just our mills. And in this case, it's not just the typical quality that you would have to go after if you were having stuff toll milled and make sure that, you know, everything was meeting your spec and all that. You've got the organic requirements on top of it that I assume you have to chase down. So like, what does that look like from a management standpoint?
It's a lot. Everybody, so each of the mills that we work with, they're just like people, right? They have their own personalities, their own challenges. All of their equipment is different. It's the way they run things, their operations, the operators, just every mill that you walk into is its own beast. So managing all of that, and because at the end of the day, you know, it's somebody else's business, and you might be a very large part of that business, but your influence only goes so far. So that is definitely one of the challenges with the toll mill partners. Now, I will say on our front, we have very good mill partners. Everybody has their challenges. Nobody is perfect. Some are more consistent than others. Some have, I really wish we could just put them all together and they could all learn from each other, because that really would balance everyone out pretty well. But yeah, how their sourcing is different. Now it's the organic, you know, it's the organic feed space. There's only so many players in the game, right? So a lot of the origination of those ingredients is ultimately coming from maybe not the same place, but similar places, like brokers still exist, obviously, on the organic market. I would say those, it definitely looks different on the corn side versus the soybean meal side on that front. I always say there's a lot of ways, different ways to skin a cat. So we have run contracts through mills where we basically said, hey, this is the supplier that we want. This is how many chickens you're feeding. Get with them and get a contract on our behalf that we're not necessarily involved in and our name isn't on it. But, you know, we might run things like that. We might run it directly through us. It's flexibility without chaos is kind of always the goal, being able to move things, you know. The other side too is we, you know, we're bringing on birds, moving birds, adding birds. So they're definitely, it's a joint effort to keep everything fully stocked and fed appropriately. Definitely.
Sure. All right. Very good. Again, my guest today is Michaela Hagenstaller. Michaela is the director of poultry nutrition at Handsome Brook Farms. So we're gonna change gears a little bit. And this was something that you had suggested you wanted to talk about, and which makes me think that this is probably a passionate topic of yours. So I'm definitely interested in your thoughts on it. And that is women in agriculture. And specifically in like this segment of agriculture, and what that experience is like, what the challenges are like, in what segments of the industry there are more challenges, less challenges. You know, I'd like to believe, as we think about what we see as people entering into the industry and things like that, that we are getting better about there being a more kind of diverse group of folks that are doing all of these different jobs. But that being said, you know, still know full well, we go into the mills, that's going to be heavily male dominated. People in your role, it's getting spread out more. I think on like the nutrition side and live production side, it's still going to be heavily, well, not heavily, it's maybe even heavily. It's still quite a bit male dominated. We do see more, I think, women in those like allied nutrition type roles. A lot of those kinds of spaces are pretty common. So I guess with all of those things, and that's from my viewpoint, as far as, you know, we train a lot of students, and at this point coming out of poultry science, it's more than 50% female in a lot of cases. But still, you know, go to meetings and go into the field and stuff, and you don't, and then you can pick up the fact that it certainly anybody that's, you know, not left school in the last 10 years is still pretty heavily male dominated, it seems like. So with all of that in mind, what are your thoughts on kind of where we sit and where we need to go and what that looks like?
Yeah, so it's exciting. It's exciting, definitely, to have more women in the ag space. And I've seen that. So I graduated from undergrad in 2015. And just in, you know, in the last 10 years that I've been out of school, I have definitely noticed a change for the better. I think when I was coming through undergrad in those early years, it was almost like we didn't talk about it. We didn't talk, like, you're just lucky to have a seat at the table, like sit there and shut up and just smile pretty, if anything, you know? And I don't know if it's, I think it's both. I know for me personally, I've just been really lucky to find those spaces where there is just such an innate sense of respect for everyone. Everybody has their own unique perspective to bring. And I know at Handsome Brook, we're a very diverse company in terms of our demographics and what that looks like across the board. And I just couldn't be more grateful to that and the leadership. For just, it is a very respectful environment. I think as a whole, to some degree, so we work with a lot of Amish and Mennonite and other plain folk sects, you know, So you're never really going to see it to the same degree on that side. Now there are some ladies that will work in the office, you know, help with paperwork side of things. Even on some of those mills, now they're all very different too. But yeah, as a whole, I think we're only getting better, but I do think it's something that we need to talk about and acknowledge those differences, because the way that you move in the industry, the types of conversations, and just the flow of getting your point across sometimes has to look different for you as a woman. There are some guys that I work with that will not look me in the eye and will not talk to me directly because I am a woman. And like, you just have to know there's no use barking up that tree, you know, it's just going to frustrate everyone. But you can work around things a lot, and whether you should or shouldn't is a whole different discussion. But you have to know how to move and what works for your male colleague who is, you know, succeeding and just seems leaps and bounds ahead of you. Your path isn't going to be the same as a woman in this space. And that's okay. It doesn't have to be the same. And you can use that as a strength. It's figuring out how to work it from a different angle a lot of times, I think. And once you figure that out, it doesn't have to be that hard or complicated. It's just different.
In your experience, would you say, I would assume both of these happen, and I'm curious if you feel that it's more one than the other. The folks that are, when you say like they have a hard time figuring out how to deal with you as a woman professional coming in and doing that, how much of it is, okay, who knows if she knows what she's talking about, she's just a girl, that kind of attitude, the kind of the chauvinism attitude, versus how much of it is, we've never had a lady come in here and work with us like this, and we don't, you know, it's like, am I supposed to treat her like my daughter? Am I supposed to try to act protective about this person? Or is that going to be offensive? You know, because I know I've seen that, right? Like, I've seen, gone into mills where, you know, it's an intern or it's an assistant manager, something like that is female. And the mill manager has this like very well-intentioned idea of like, no, we're not going to treat her like we've treated the other guys that have come through in this role. You'll answer to me. I'll show you. And it's kind of like, and in some ways that might be appreciated by some women in that position. And in other cases, it's like, no, don't do that. And so I'm curious, like, I would assume you see both of those?
Oh, yeah. I'm very, very familiar with both. Sometimes stacked on top of each other and layered, which is especially fun. You also have differences at different levels, right? So sometimes the attitude of the person in front of you mixing the feed, you're, you know, looking at tolerances and something or something, their attitude might be very different than the sales guy, is very different than the owner of the company, you know? And that kind of goes back to how you move and everything, you know, that the more chauvinist approach or like, oh, you're just a woman, there's no point in trying to like white knuckle your way and to be like, I will teach you I know things. There's no point. There's no point in engaging and fighting to that. You just handle what you need to handle to the best of your ability in that situation and you move on. I think luckily in my experience, the wanting to do it right and just kind of like fumbling because it's a new thing is more familiar. And I think the answer there is just go slow. There's very few things that we need to rush about. We're feeding chickens. Make sure the chickens are fed. We can slow everything else down to make sure we're on the same page. I think the other thing that's very interesting that nobody wants to, maybe it's not even that they don't want to, maybe it's just that they don't, But a lot of times, like, it shouldn't be that different, right? If you are respectful of everyone across all levels and regardless of their own personal, you know, whatever demographic you're going by, it becomes pretty easy to slip people in and out. But when you have that jolt of like, oh, this is so much different than how I would handle the guys, well, maybe you should examine how you're handling the guys, because maybe that's not it. Maybe just your baseline isn't as respectful as it should be or could be. So I think that's something to keep in mind too.
Yeah, you know, that's a really excellent point. That idea of if you have to switch your attitude or the way that you are interacting that much because, you know, quote, now there's a lady here, might not be that you're promoting the most wholesome work environment in the world anyway. It's just it's a really good point. I think that's probably a good lesson for all of us. Kind of like, you know, it's so different than it's, you know, is it way different in here when the boss has to bring his kid to work? And it's like, well, yeah, the language changes and the jokes and all that. It's like, probably should be about more like that all of the time.
Right. Right.
With the idea too of, you know, trying to find that balance of not trying to make everybody, you know, change exactly who they are and who they want to be, and make work be fun and try to feel everybody out. Right. And figure out what that's like, because everybody's going to approach that with a different situation. And certainly, you know, when we talk about like women in ag, you know, you talk about like jokes or whatever it is. I've got, you know, multiple, you know, acquaintances and colleagues and whatever else. And it's like, oh, you know, you won't make her blush. Don't worry, but she might make you. So you just be careful. And it's just like, so figure out who you're dealing with and then move from there. So I think that's a really good point.
Right. Everybody has their own individual differences for one, but I also think everything is as big of a deal as you make it. So if you're like I'm thinking of the fresh meat, the ones who just graduated, who are going out in their first internships or externship, like if you're real scared and nervous about it and it's a big deal to you, it's going to be a bigger deal. If you're like, okay, well, this is what we're going. We're, you know, I'm going to meet whatever comes at me. That's a lot. Just, it's a lot easier way to go through not only just life, but especially with all the different personalities that you're going to encounter.
Absolutely. To kind of close this out, we're hitting, getting up on our time here. Is there anything that you've, you know, particularly run across as far as, you know, groups or resources or meetings or anything like that, that you have found have been specifically beneficial? I know that there's a couple of the like allied companies that do some, you know, specific women leadership, and some of the trade organizations will do that as well. Anything that you've, you know, been involved in or specifically run across that has been, you know, stuck out to you as being really helpful?
A couple things, I guess, on that front. Number one, just say yes to opportunities, whatever those may be, whatever kinds of things are being offered. Absolutely. Because you're going to learn something, even if you're the only woman in the room, you're probably going to learn more than anyone there. As an industry, if we're, I'd say on the, on that front, the allied industries and the feed additive salesmen, if they really want to kick it up a notch, they should really have like spa days, the way that they take all the guys out on hunting trips and fishing trips, like take us to the spa, take us skiing. We like to do things too. And, you know, I definitely think that's slow to come up, you know, not that there's anything wrong with shooting clay pigeons, but that's not something I personally want to do.
Oh yeah, no, if you're selling on the coast, you take people offshore fishing. If you're selling in the Midwest, you take them and you shoot something. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, fair point. That's a good idea. I like that. like that. Very good. Yeah, maybe some people will take note and take you up on your suggestion there. I'm probably gonna steal that and use that for some people. Like, you know, there are multiple different activities out there, and we could try some different things from time to time. That's a good point.
Right. Yeah. Yep. So no, I think it's good. I think we're headed in the right direction. So
very good. All right. Well, it's been a great conversation. I really appreciate it. Again, my guest has been Michaela Hagensoller. Michaela is the director of poultry nutrition at Handsome Brook Farms. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for having me, Adam. I really appreciate it.
Yep, you bet. All right. This has been the Feed Science Podcast. I'm Adam Farinholz, coming to you from North Carolina State University. And on behalf of Wisenetics, we'll talk to you the next time.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.